We don't really get a lot of rehearsals ahead of time, but we had a rehearsal ahead of time, and it was actually very helpful. But beyond that, you know, it was just, it's mostly Christy and I having conversations about how we want to do this, how we want to portray this, what do we want to accomplish this season, and how can we help each other do that?
That is Chris Sullivan, who plays Toby on This Is Us, and talking about the difficulty of shooting kind of these really emotional, intense storylines, one of which being the divorce in the future of Toby and Kate, and how they kind of had to tackle that to pull it off effectively as actors. Really fun to have him on, talk about the show and kind of how it came about and the way he approaches scenes. I think you're going to find it really interesting. It's a huge hit, and I think it'll be a nice behind-the-scenes look at a major TV show. Before we get to that, is it asking too much to have my rims washed on my car when I go through a car wash? This is a car wash I go to, and the guy used to have the brush, and he'd, you know, scrub the rims, because the rims, they get a lot of road grime and everything. You go through and you get the nice shiny rims, and everybody's like, you drive by and you're like, hey, look at Paul with the shiny rims. Now, not so much. They go, look at Paul with the dirty rims, you know. And so they stopped doing it. So this time through, I said, hey, could you just, I see the brush in the bucket, could you just, oh, yeah, we'll scrub it up, right? So I pull in. And the guy hits the buttons, and my car starts moving. And guess what happened before my car started to move? Nothing. Yeah, nothing. I basically had no rims cleaned. And so now, and they got you. Once you're in the car wash, what are you going to do, get out and start arguing? I did roll the window down and started getting soap sprayed on me. But, you know, you got to roll the window up. And so, you know, I should have just driven away, but nope, not me. I got to, you know, change the world. So I go, and I, you know, I don't yell at the guy. He goes, I don't understand. You said you were going to wash rooms. He goes, well, we got new machinery, and it washes rooms. I go, yeah, but it doesn't really work that well. He goes, well, but it does. I go, no, it doesn't, and I'm not just making it up. And he goes, well, you know, we just, if we do it for you, we got to do it for everybody. Oh, that's the argument, really? Like, people are going to be lining up looking for rim washing on the side that they can jump on? Really? So He said, well, you know, the machinery does it. And I'm like, you're saying it a third time. It's not like clicking your heels in the Wizard of Oz and something happens. Like, it's not working. Just why can't the guy just scrub the, it's, and then I said, and I think this is a good point, the amount of time we're spending going back and forth, you could have scrubbed like 16 wheels at least, four cars worth. Okay. And he goes, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. They look pretty clean to me. I go, well, they don't look clean to me. And he goes, well, you know, this is how we do it. And so I lost. I drove away with moderately clean wheels, rims, and I got to find a new car wash now. If for no other reason, I can't go back because they're going to key my car when I'm going through because they're going to remember me. All right. Wash your rims on your own. That's the moral of that story. Enjoy Chris Sullivan. And tell your friends about the podcast. Send it around. We always want to keep building our fan base. And got a lot of different guests on the show, as you know. All right. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. My guest this week plays Toby on This Is Us, a role for which he's received two Primetime Emmy nominations. Show is in its final sixth season. This is Chris Sullivan, and Chris is also appearing on Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Good Fight, and Stranger Things. Chris, great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot going on in this sixth season, and there's a lot of chatter about the end of the fifth season and the flash forward where Toby and Kate are divorced. And there was something really interesting you said from an actor's perspective about that. You had said that that's tricky information to have when you're just rolling along, enjoying this romantic comedy of a relationship. To know that eventually it's going to dissolve is hard to handle. So you must be so invested in the characters. You fall in love with the characters, I would imagine, in the relationship. So how do you, was it difficult to, Is it difficult now as we speak, as you're acting this season out, like to play through this as an actor, and how do you adjust if you have to?
Yeah, it was a little more complicated to have the information ahead of time. You know, part of the, I don't want to say the fun, but the the mystery of living is that we don't know what's coming next. Mm. And it doesn't have the opportunity to affect the way we live our lives in the moment. And so having that knowledge too far in advance was, you know, it's helpful because we as actors have to know that, okay, we need to plant the seeds of things falling apart or little rifts or whatever it may be. But now that we're in it, now that we're actually playing that part of the relationship, you know, it's a challenge in a good way. It's a creative challenge to, you know, portray that type of life event in a way that is conscious and loving and compassionate as best you can, considering the writing. Because that's kind of the agreement that This Is Us has made with its audience, is that, all right, we're going to show you every aspect of relationship that life has to offer, and we're going to give you a roadmap on how to navigate those things. So it is a formidable challenge, and I am enjoying it as far as that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that it's almost like you have to put some emotions aside in a way, because you don't want to play the future, right? You need to be in the moment as an actor, especially you come out of improv training at IO Theater. So that's what that's all about, is staying in the moment. And that's got to be hard. And did you have to do any sort of special, I don't know, rehearsals with Chrissy Metz to kind of figure out how to play this whole storyline, and so that it played true? You guys were able to play it true to form, you know?
Yeah, we talked. We didn't have any. Well, that's not true. We did just recently have a special rehearsal for episode 9, directed by Mandy, and it was Chrissy and I and Mandy and Dan Fogelman, our creator and the writer of the episodes. The writers, and it was a very emotionally complicated scene. And so we don't really get a lot of rehearsals ahead of time, but we had a rehearsal ahead of time, and it was actually very helpful. But beyond that, you know, it was just, it's mostly Chrissy and I having conversations about how we want to do this, how we want to portray this, what do we want to accomplish this season? And how can we help each other do that? And so those conversations have been helpful.
Yeah. How the improv training that you had, I mean, I work on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. So I worked with Stephen, and Steve Carell comes out of Chicago, obviously. And I know Norm Lavalette, who's a co-founder of Improv Asylum. And I've done some stuff. And that training as an actor has to be invaluable. I mean, because you've got that ability to make something that's scripted feel unscripted, maybe a little easier than maybe an actor without it. Like, how's that helped you're a terrific dramatic actor and comedic actor, but you know, that's scripted stuff. How's that improv training helped you?
You know, improv training lays a base of confidence underneath all things scripted. I think, I don't know if people in general recognize it, but I know you do. When you see someone on film or television and you see the way they are moving, the way they are interacting with their scene partner, the way they're delivering their lines, I can almost always pick out an improviser because there's this level of confidence underneath the script that, If I forget the lines, if I forget what I'm supposed to say, there's no panic. I know I have the tools to continue on in this scenario, in this character, and make something happen. And that's been huge for me. You know, the greatest acting classes I ever took was an improv class called The Art of Slow Comedy with Jimmy Corain in Chicago. And it was One of the biggest realizations I had about acting and about being present, about listening, and realizing that yes, and, you know, that has become, you know, kind of the joke about improv, you know, the one rule, agree and add to, is not just a good tool for improv. It's a good way to live your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially these days, we need more of that.
Yeah.
instead of all this divisiveness.
And so improv has been invaluable, not only in my acting career, but in my life in general.
I know what you mean about watching acting and you can tell, and also being in that moment where the lines goes away, but you don't freak out because, it's funny because, like, I also do stand up, and it's like, I also think all performances inform all other performances, right? So, like, if you do stand up, it makes you a better actor. If you're an actor, it makes you a better stand up. If you're an improv actor, it's so forth and so on, right? And so, you know, it's funny, you know, Stay Sharp, I work with this acting coach here in New York called Bob Krakow. His name is Bob Krakow, a great guy. And he knows I like to, you know, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great, isn't he? He's the best. And he knows I like to improvise, and he gives me permission to kind of, it's almost like, it's a good improviser with a script can, it's almost like watching them play jazz. Like they'll play the notes, but then they'll fill around the notes with little behavior or maybe a extra word or two that doesn't blow the script up, but keeps moving the scene forward. And I think that's the most fun, when you can kind of be true to the script, but also be true to who you are as a performer, you know?
Absolutely. There's a freedom, that underlying confidence that we're talking about, you know, equals freedom to play, freedom to, like you're saying, to riff a little bit, to play the notes and to stay in rhythm, but to throw a little solo in there. And that type of, I think one of the things that's interesting is because there's that underlying confidence of knowing that if I forget my lines, everything will be okay. I don't forget my line.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I think your mind is not focused on freaking out that you can't remember your line. So of course you're not going to remember your line if you're worried about remembering. Exactly. That's really funny. That's hilarious. So you're directing now too. You directed an episode, and that this is your directorial debut. So I would assume you kind of had this in the back of your mind as something you wanted to do as you've been an actor. And have you been sort of observing, and do you pick the brains of the director? And all of that. A buddy of mine, this guy's name is Don Scardino. I don't know, you may know him or maybe worked with him, but he's a terrific director. And whenever I work with him, I'm always asking him some extra questions, just thinking, well, maybe someday I might want to, you know. Did you do the same?
I've definitely been paying attention for a long time, asking questions, observing. But in season two, I threw my hat in the ring. I told Dan Fogelman I'd like to direct, and he said, okay, well then get shadowing. And so I shadowed Ken Olin, and I shadowed a directing team, two guys named Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, and watched their process and watched how they set up shots and how they organized their days. And then I went on some location scouts and asked a lot of questions for the location manager and the prop master and all these things. And so I was supposed to direct last season. Pandemic sides and kind of sideswiped everything. Mm. And then my wife and I also had a child. And so Dan was like, we've got a lot going on right now. Why don't you just wait until next season to direct? And that gave me a little more time.
And then Dan said, oh, but wait, we're killing your character off tomorrow, so I guess you can't direct. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about
that. Yeah. And was it a big learning curve for you? Like what was, once you started doing it, how different was it than your perception of doing it, especially perceiving it from the other side of the camera, being on the receiving end of direction?
I mean, there was certainly a lot. I learned more directing one episode of television than I think I've learned in my 6 seasons of acting on the show. Like, actual learning new information, like new knowledge, new understandings of how this all worked.
Like what? Like, for example?
Something as simple as for 6 seasons, directors would come in and say, "Hey, can we do one that's just fast, just as quick as possible?" And as an actor, I was like, "I don't understand. That's a note. I don't understand this note. Like, what is this note?
Right.
Like, just do it faster."
Right.
But then when I got into my edit, and I went to edit my episode, I was like, "This is so slow. Everything is so slow. What is going on? It was horrible. Like, I was like, I'm never going to be able to pace this up." And so just little things like that. And there are, you know, 50 of those little things that I'm like, okay, I understand now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be invaluable, not only to myself as an actor, but to anybody I work with, for me to have that understanding. So it was a lot of fun. I loved it. I loved, at the end of a day of acting, I'm exhausted. And at the end of a day of directing, I was energized and ready to go. So
how was it giving notes? You must have been great giving notes, because as an actor, you know what it's like to get notes, especially Bob always tells, if you get a bad note, just go, okay. And then just don't do the note. And then just do the scene again. And they think you did the note. Like, that's usually, you said, the best way to deal with it. But like, what was that like for you? And did you have a little trepidation? Or were you like, no, I'm going to give you a note and confident about what I'm doing?
I felt confident about it. Our cast loves each other very much and we respect each other. So I want to know. I want to know what Mandy thinks. I want to know what Justin thinks. I want them to use their talent and their knowledge to help me make me better as a performer. And I think that goes both ways. And we know how to talk to each other. We know one of the great directing skills that I've witnessed. One of my favorite directors I've worked with is named Tommy Cahill. He directed Hamilton on Broadway and directed myself in my Broadway debut in a play called Lombardi. And I would watch him give notes at the end of a rehearsal session. And there were 6 people in our cast, and he would give notes to 6 people in 6 distinctly different styles, because he knew this person needed to be spoken to in this way. And this person only hear this note if I gesticulate, or this person. he knew how to adapt to the performer to get his point across, and that's kind of a lesson that I've tried to keep with me.
Yeah, that's great. Were you surprised? Were you all surprised? You know, both of us worked in TV, and all, like, what that something becomes such a hit. Like, this show just didn't become a hit, but like just felt like it just grabbed America by the throat and like really got embraced and captured everybody. Were you surprised at how impactful it was for people so quickly out of the gates?
You know, yeah, sure. The quickness with which people connected to it. I mean, people connected to the show before it even aired. We had a trailer that released on Facebook that had in 3 days had 90 million views, and we all knew, oh geez, something's happening here.
Wow.
And you know, the last 5 or 6 years have been a tumultuous time for people. Mm-hmm. And it was the perfect opportunity for a show that says, you have a lot of feelings, here's a good way to deal with those feelings, here's a way not to deal with it. Here's, don't make these mistakes. Mm. Try this. Try turning towards each other. Try turning towards the relationship. You know, the show has been called the crying show, the sad show. You know, all of things. And you know, I joke, but I'm kind of I'm not kidding. You know, it's like the show isn't sad. These are not real people. This is a fake story. The show isn't sad. The audience is sad.
Yeah.
The audience is feeling things that maybe they don't even know they're feeling.
Exactly.
And they're seeing those things reflected back to them. And that is an act of grace. You know, that is an act of compassion. And it brings people to tears to say, wow, there I am. And that's what the title of the show is.
Yeah.
You know, the title of the show is what the audience says when they watch the show.
Mm. Yeah.
This is us. This is me. This is my life. This is what I'm feeling. This is us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's the whole thing.
And guess what? Life is sad. You know what I mean? Not all the time, but you know, I think it's an accurate reflection of life. And I do think it triggers things for people, you know, and that's not a bad thing. That's what art's supposed to do. You know, it's art, as long as it's triggering, whatever it triggers, what it triggers. But if it's not triggering, then is it art? And then this is art.
Yeah, exactly. Life is almost exactly 50% sad and pain and suffering.
Yeah.
And people try to ignore that. They try to deny that. And there's a balance. Both of those things exist and they have to be acknowledged.
Absolutely. Well, listen, the show's phenomenal. Congratulations on all the success. Congratulations on the directorial debut. This is Chris Sullivan. This is Us is the show, and best of luck. And we'll talk again soon. We'll get you back on the show. Okay. Take care, buddy.
Thanks so much.
All right. There you go. That's Chris Sullivan. Really cool guy. Great to have him on. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Tell your friends about it. Spread the word around. And we will see you next week, everybody.